Just on that as well, I have to sort of mention that the department was in the process of updating whatever findings we had in terms of the 13-14 plan. There was an annex that they were supposed to put in for the, by the time they submitted to the portfolio committee, indicating exactly what the specific activities are that are linked to their targets and objectives to make sure they conform to the SMART principle. One example I'll quickly give, because I see Honorable Chairperson is frowning slightly, is, for example, in the strategic plan of the department had one target on the, and I'm going to have to excuse myself and sort of, you know, put this one lightly, because this is a topic that's been getting quite a lot of hammering. But one target that the department had in the strategic plan said with regard to the rural household infrastructure grant, the target was to produce a report quarterly. Now, we were of the opinion that, you know, your target cannot be to produce the report. Your target should be the activity. What is it that you are going to do? You must have numbers in there and say, I will produce 1,000 per quarter, and the report is actually what should only be substantiating to say, okay, this is what I have achieved. So your target should not be the report, because you can actually go and build one and say, here's the report, and it's I've achieved, because my target initially upfront was the report. So there's just little fundamental things that we had to look at. And I think to some lesser or more degree, the department has actually put in some work. We as the Office of the AG, are still in the process of reviewing the final documentation submitted to us to see if we are happy. But those are some of the initiatives we undertook in the current year to make sure that we root out this SMART principle issue. But so again, in terms of expectation, my whole objective here today is just to give the portfolio committee a bit of background as to exactly when we say predetermined objectives, what are we talking about in the pitfalls and the way forward as well. Our reputation promise, I'll get skinned alive if I don't mention this explicitly. As the Office of the AG, we exist solely to build public confidence by conducting our audits to ensure that we promote accountability, oversight, and good governance in the public sector through our audits. In terms of predetermined objectives, this slide is probably the most critical slide from a portfolio committee point of view, because this indicates the whole process of strategic planning. First of all, you have your oversight, the oversight being your parliament, your provincial legislature, or your municipal council. So that's your executive, the for lack of a better phrase, the political leadership, the leadership which sits and then decides which direction our country or province or your municipality should be heading towards at a strategic level. So those are the people who are responsible for policy development. To say, okay, we need to be heading in the following direction, and for us to achieve the following or to be heading towards the following direction, we need to identify certain impacts or desired impacts which we want to achieve going forward. Once there has been I think something, just to bring it a little bit closer to home, is like, for example, a State of the Nation address or the policy development that happens at the political leadership. So all of that gets discussed here, but it has to filter down into tangible action somewhat downwards in terms of operations. So once the policy development has been done, then comes in the strategic planning process. So now we've got a direction which we should be moving in. Let's develop a strategy to achieve our desired outcomes. And in terms of the institution, you see right there in the center of the arrows, the institutions on which the strategic planning process is applicable, your national departments, provincial departments, municipalities, entities, all entities, public entities, municipal entities, all entities of government must have a strategy or strategic plan, because that, if you take a top-down approach, you'll see you start with your policy development or your direction which you should be heading, and then you will say, okay, in terms of infrastructure development, what should public works be doing, what should the Department of Transport be doing, what should human settlements be doing, what should COCTA be doing, and each one of those should have a plan that fits into the bigger scheme of things in terms of the direction which we should be heading in. Am I on the right track, Your Honourable Duncan? Thank you, ma'am. I just want that noted on the PMG so I can take it to my boss for performance appraisal. Thank you, ma'am. Okay. So currently where we are in this process, honorable members, is the strategic planning process. We're actually in a two-folded process. We have the strategic planning process where the entities now have to go develop the plans that will feed into the bigger scheme of things. So now they have to go and specify specific performance indicators to say, okay, the goal is here now. What do I need to have in my plan to make sure that I achieve for my little portion, which is human settlements, as part of the bigger infrastructure development plan of the nation, or you know, from a public works or whatever entity that's in the infrastructure cluster. Then the entities have to go and say, we've got the plan now, the strategic plan. Now we need to link it to our budget. So we're getting money, we've got a goal. Now let's link the goal and the activities which should be performed to the cost. So you're getting 100 rand. In the 100 rand, it must be broken down. That will say 20 rand will go to my administration, 20 rand will go towards the achievement of the following goal, 20 rand will go towards the building, and the 20 rand will go towards the monitoring afterwards, or whatever the specific. But you must clearly be able to see this is the plan, and this is per program or per activity, how it links in terms of the cost. And not only the cost, but also it says operational planning and then the budgeting as well. So operational planning means to that specific activity, what needs to be done to achieve the specific goal of the strategic plan as well. So there must be the activity with the cost element linked to it as well. Okay. So once we've done that, we set the targets. So now you've got the activity. Now we know we must go build. So now let's set the target. We must build X by when? So we must be saying we must build 1,000 by 31st of March, and that's our target. That's where we say set targets, and then you must allocate your resources in order to achieve that. Then, obviously, the bottom block is used with our in-year monitoring. So you must have controls in there that must, on a quarterly basis or however what the need requires, that you can have that in-year monitoring to make sure that you are on track with regard to achieving your targets. And then obviously, like I said, if you achieve your targets, it just rolls up all the way up to achieving the greater good as well. So once you've done your in-year monitoring, your quarterly reports, which are sent to the executive, which then also, I think the departments also come to the portfolio committee and brief us quarterly. Once that process has been finalized, we get to where we are now as well, which is our end-year reporting. So the department said we had a plan, we had a budget which was allocated, we were supposed to achieve the following. Now let's take a look and reflect back over the past year and see whether we've achieved our targets or not. And that's where we get our end-year reporting. If we have not achieved, because this is also quite a critical process, because if we have not achieved, that's where we now need to go back and assess, and we need to see whether there's any adjustments which needs to be made to the. Because remember, a strategic plan or strategy is a 3 to 5 year plan. So you monitor it yearly, but on a yearly basis, you need to make those small adjustments to make sure that you achieve the greater plan of the 3 or 5 years, or the NDP, whatever plan it might be, 20 years or whatever it might be. So that's the whole process with regard to the strategic planning process and all the role players and the specific steps that are involved in this process. And I think you'd be able to see that from where we are, we're sitting right on the top. We're looking at this whole cycle going round and round. As a portfolio committee, we play quite a critical role when the plans are presented to us, when it's a strategic planning process. That's where you have to interrogate the plans. When the budget process comes again, is it speaking to exactly what we need to achieve? Are we doing it in a cost-effective manner? And then the in-year monitoring quarterly. Are we on the cases of the entities and saying, you know, you had the following targets, how are we doing quarterly, the quarterly reports in terms of the implementation of the plan? And then ultimately, when we get to the end of the year, you have to say, okay, now let's account, you had a whole year, you had money, how did you spend it and did you achieve? And I think that's also quite critical. I'll deal with it later on in my slides when we compare the spending towards the achievement of the results as well. Okay. So in terms of the legislative requirements, we know being government, most of what we do is legislated in terms of certain pieces of legislation, acts or regulations. The two role players at our level are the AG and then obviously the departments. I said departments specifically because we're presenting for human settlements. I could have said entities. But in terms of the AG, we are there as mandated by the Constitution, Chapter 9. But more specifically, when it comes to performance information, the Public Audit Act, Section 20 says, AG, you will give me an opinion on the financial statements, which means 1 plus 2 equals 3. That's the budget. Yes, I agree, 1 plus 2 equals 3. But over and above that, before you were supposed to spend the 1 plus 2 equals 3, you were supposed to get the 3 quotations or comply with the prescripts of the legislation. So you also assess the compliance element. Yes, you've spent, but did you do it in accordance with the prescripts? And then we also must give, I've underlined the predetermined objective, they must also give some form of opinion on performance. Now, it's quite critical, it's nowhere in the slides, but I'm going to talk to it, is that as the Office of the AG, we do not express an opinion as yet on performance information like we do, saying unqualified on 1 plus 2 equals 3. But on performance, we are still at the phase where we give a conclusion, but it's in the management report for management. So we say to management, if we were to give you a public opinion, this is what it would have been. And that is derived on certain materiality and significance framework that is applied by the AG. But at this present stage, as the AG, as Office of the AG, what we do is we give the material findings in the audit report without giving an opinion, saying, you know, whether qualified or unqualified, but you'll see the material findings there. And we'll deal with the material findings obtained by the department at a later phase. As far as the departments are concerned, obviously PFMA, which says you must have certain processes in place to be able to do your budgets and your performance measuring. Treasury Regulations Chapter 5, which deals with strategic planning. There's certain guidelines and instructions instruction notes, which are also issued by Treasury. And these instruction notes are quite clear. For example, the preparation of the financial statements. It tells you as a department and entity what is the format you must use when you report. It must be in a certain tabular format. This is what must be the minimum information which must be contained in the performance report, annual performance report. And then there's the public service regulations as well. The PSR is also quite clear in the sense that in the PSR, from a human resource point of view, it also sets forth the requirements which must be there in your strategic plan. It says you must have the following minimum resources in place. You must be able, and that's quite important because you can have the biggest strategy, but if you don't have the resources to be able to implement, it will also not. That's why it's important that the departments also do their HR planning annually, that we discussed in the previous session. So if you've got your HR plan, you'll know what you are capable of, your capacity. You can see, in terms of my capacity, what is it that I can realistically achieve. No use going and saying I will build 1 million houses, but I only have 10 people on the ground. I'm just talking layman's terms in terms of it. And then there's the FMPPI as well, which is the Framework for Managing Program Performance Information. That piece of regulation is just actually an update of Chapter 5 of the Treasury Regulations. It also sets forth the minimum requirements. You must have a plan. The plan must contain a minimum of X, Y, and Z, your objectives, your indicators, and it must be tabled at which phases as well in terms of to Parliament. And all these pieces of legislation are available on the Treasury website. It's there, www.treasury.gov.za / legislation PFMA circulars. And then also another piece of legislative is the AG directive, the Auditor General's directive, which is issued annually. But last year it hasn't changed materially. It sets forth exactly what the AG does in terms of when we conduct our audits. Now, we've spoken a little bit about when we conduct our audits. As Office of the AG, we've gone and sat down and said, well, how would you define performance information? And I said, it's the annual audit that we do in terms of the reported actual performance against predetermined objectives, indicators, and targets that is contained in the annual performance report of the entities. It actually says municipalities, but it should be departments. So what we do is we say, yes, we audit your performance report against what you set forth that you said you were going to achieve in the beginning. It's simple as that. And we've identified three main criteria, which is compliance, usefulness, and reliability. Compliance just says, like we said, there's legislation that's applicable. You are supposed to have the minimum information. You're supposed to have a plan to begin with. Do you have a plan, yes or no? If you have a plan, does it conform to the minimum requirements in terms of Chapter 5, the FMPPI? And timeliness, did you conduct compile your plan timely? Did you submit it timely to Parliament as required by those pieces of legislation in terms of the days? Then we look at the usefulness. Okay, now we've looked at the compliance. You do have a plan. We check that off. Now let's look at how useful your plan is. You're an entity that's supposed to achieve the following in terms of the greater goals. Let's look at the usefulness of your plan. Will it, at the end, allow for you, first, one of two things, to be able to achieve what the objective is, and also will it allow for you to be measured once you say you've achieved when you come to the end of the reporting period? That's when we look at the SMART principle, the consistency and the measurability, and is it relevant to what you're doing? You have a plan, yes, you have a plan, brilliant, but is your plan relevant to what it is that you're supposed to be achieving in terms of your goal? And reliability just speaks to when we report. Now, the departments come, they give us a performance report, and then once we get the performance report, we go back and say, now you said achieve, your target was 10, you've achieved 8, but this 8 year, show me the evidence. I need to see, because you can't just report willy-nilly. I need to see that evidence, the reports, the evidence. And your evidence needs to be valid, it needs to be accurate, and it needs to be complete as well. Okay. So we've spoken a little bit about the format of the plan. Your plan should have the objective. The objective is the overall goal, the overall strategic goal. But over and above that, to achieve this goal, what is the indicator and the target which we must set? I think we dealt with it in the slide with that had the circle diagram as well. But in terms of a performance indicator, it says a suitable indicator needs to be specified to measure performance in relation to inputs, activities, outputs, outcomes, and impacts. So indicators must measure things that are useful from a management and accountability perspective. Okay. So now it says, okay, you've got the goal now. What is it that needs to be in place to achieve it overall? then you a suitable indicator must have at least the following of the six criteria. It must be reliable, well-defined, verifiable, cost-effective, appropriate, and relevant. Reliability must be accurate enough for its intended use and respond to changes in level of performance. So you must have an accurate one. You must go say, okay, I will now do the following. There must be an activity that's linked to the object to this objective. It must be well-defined, must clear, unambiguous data. Verifiable, there must be a process in place to be able to validate whatever systems that produce this indicator. And a system could be a manual system, or it could be, in the case of human settlements, the HSS system. Okay. So over and above that, also, the system must be cost-effective. So you must, the usefulness of the indicator must justify the cost of collecting the data. So from a human settlements point of view, we've got HSS. It's collecting the data. It's supposed to be collecting the data for us. Was it cost-effective? Is it being operated cost-effective in order for us to be able to produce the information that is required in terms of achievement? And then obviously appropriate and then relevant, pretty much self-explanatory by saying, you know, you can't have a mandate or a goal here and you've got an indicator that's speaking to something totally different. Okay. This slide here, Honorable Chairperson, I hope Honorable Chairperson is paying attention because this one is highlighted in red. It's the SMART principle, and I'll explain why I'm saying that, Honorable Chairperson. The reason why this is highlighted in red is when we come to the end of our presentation, there will be a slight pop quiz as to exactly what the words are for the SMART principle. That's why I highlighted it in red. I'm just kidding. So basically, in terms, we all hear the term SMART principle the whole time. So this is just a nice slide giving forth the detail of exactly what the SMART principle is. It's specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. So this is now you get into the activity, the detail of what is it that I'm going to do to achieve this objective now. So there must be a required level of performance that can clearly be identified. You must be able to measure it. So you must say 10, I will produce 1,000, I will produce 5. If it's a policy development, you must say, I will develop the policy or two policies or three policies by whatever time it is. Achievable, it must be realistic given the existing capacity. That's quite important because, like I said, you can have a target of 10 million for the year, but if you only have 10 people on the ground, it's realistically impossible to achieve them. And then relevant, it must be linked to the performance. This thing that I'm going to do today must be linked to a specific goal. So I can't just now say we're building houses, but then I go and I climb Mount Everest and I say I've achieved the goal because I've climbed Mount Everest. It must be relevant to our mandate, exactly what it is that we are doing. And then time-bound. We can have the 10 million goal, but if we're not saying we're going to achieve X by 31 March, then it's an open-ended target. You can come every year and say, well, how do you then say you've achieved? Okay. In terms of our audit process, very high level, we understand, we go look at the usefulness, we look at the plan. After we've looked at the plan, we conclude on the usefulness, which is where we are now by giving the feedback to the department in terms of the plan. Then we will go test the reliability once we get the performance report, and then we will report on the, because that unfortunately we can't do anything about. They must go assess their achievements and then put it in a report and report on their achievements. Then only can we go in and say, did you actually achieve, yes or no? This is the actual audit outcomes of our portfolio for human settlements in the previous year in terms of performance information. Human settlements in the previous 3, 4, 5 years ago were red in all three main categories because they had compliance problems because they submitted late the plans, or they had usefulness problems, they didn't comply with the SMART principle, reliability problems. But I think last year they really started putting in place certain processes, but they were not there yet with the SMART principle, and we hope that this process now that we've engaged in will hopefully see them next year coming in reporting a green block in terms of that. So as far as the actual results were concerned, both human settlements and NHBRC had issues on measurability, which were reported as material findings on the audit report. That just speaks to the plans not conforming to the SMART principle being measurable and achievable and well-defined and ambiguous. In terms of our root causes, I said when you see red, you must see red for danger. We said the reason why this is not working with the little gears that are not turning there is because we really identified that there's inadequate systems and processes at the department with regard to the strategic planning process. They've now moved by implementing, I think it's the PMU unit, and they've got a strategy unit. So what they now do is there's a specific DDG, who's Mr. Cheney, who's responsible for compiling the strat plan, and then there's a chief director who's responsible for the APP. But there's now a bit of better cohesion between the two now, because remember that the problem is you've got a chief director who's responsible for compiling the APP, but he has to get the information from the DDGs, and sometimes there might be some of those in-house fighting, who are you to come tell me, but where this person is compiling a plan that's applicable for the whole entity. Some of those little processes which were not clearly well defined to say you will do this in terms of the requirement for the policy or so. Then there's a lack of understanding of the principles of the FMPPI as well. We had a session with Treasury where we sat with the department to say this is actually what the intention is, this is what you should be doing to be able to achieve compliance with regard to the SMART principle. And then we said lack of monitoring and oversight over PDO processes. We said basically the leadership is not taking accountability in terms of checking those monthly. I mean, if you do monthly, if your processes, your quarterly processes are in place, and by the time you get to the end of the year, it's just consolidation and making sure you're reporting what should be there. Okay. And then one critical goal that we're also pushing in terms of predetermined objectives is that performance, the strategic plan should be aligned with your performance of your members. You can't have members who have performance agreements which do not cover whatever. I mean, you are. I am a public servant. I am there to achieve a certain goal of the entity. So if I am there, my performance agreement must clearly state that you must achieve X, Y, and Z. And if I achieve it, it's just a matter of consolidating it up to say this is the strategic plan achievements or the performance report achievements. So, and we are basically saying if that is achieved, the alignment of the performance to the strategic plans, it will allow for accountability, achievements of targets, and then obviously overall improvement of service delivery. And then this is a slide which... honorable members, you, I think last year when we did the beta flower process, you have, I introduced it as a combined assurance model, and it's just basically saying, you know, to produce a performance report, you've got certain role players, starting right from management to your oversight structures and your independent assurance providers. So in terms of performance information, management should have processes and systems in place to make sure that they produce credible information. So when that report comes here, it should already, we should know that the systems are working of such a nature that it produces credible information. We can rely to an extent on this information. Oversight structures, like for example the Treasury, they must monitor compliance with laws and regulation and enforce appropriate action. And then critical in the middle block is internal audit. Quarterly reports must be reviewed by internal audit before it even comes to this platform, before it even goes to the accounting officer. Internal audit should have done some form of verification or validation process to say, yes, the information you are getting, it's chopped. It's, you can rely on it, it's accurate, it's credible, and it's complete. And then obviously, then we get the independent assurance providers, which are the portfolio committees. Quarterly, these guys come and they report to you. There should be a rigorous interrogation of these plans to say, you know, this plan, DG that you're presenting to me, was it subjected to the following review by internal audit? Do you have appropriate supporting evidence? Is it talking to your goals that you are trying to achieve or in terms of the milestones we've set throughout the year? And then obviously the Office of the AG by conducting its audits by doing certain independent processes to provide some form of credibility on the information. So by the time the performance report comes, when I issue my report, except for the material findings, there's then at least that level of credibility. So all these three phases that the information has to go to provide assurance on that information that is reported. Now, committee members, why is it important to report on performance information? I think it speaks without saying. It allows for public sector reforms. It allows for improvement of public sector reporting, and then obviously our common goal is it provides for better information to taxpayers on exactly what they are getting for the taxes they are paying, just in terms of service delivery. So we've got a slide there that says, you know, if you do not measure results, you're going to tell success from failure. If you cannot see success, you cannot reward it. If you cannot reward success, you are probably rewarding failure. So if you're paying people performance bonuses, but they're not achieving because their performance agreements are not aligned to the strategic plans, and if you can't recognize failure, you don't know how to correct it. And I mean, if we want to be seen as a country that's working, we need to demonstrate results. And that's only way we can win public support. And that's in terms of achievement of service delivery. There's one slide here, I think, yeah, I didn't speak to it. It's on this page here. It's right at the bottom. It says additional meta paragraph is included in the audit report when 20% of the targets are not achieved in an entity. What it basically says is, you were given a budget of 100 rand, you had 100 targets, but you spend the 100, or you didn't spend the 100 if you've got material underspending, we also report material underspending, but you also did not achieve more than 20% of your targets. So then we say it's quite significant that you had a certain number of targets you didn't achieve. What are the underlying issues here? Either the planning process upfront is flawed, or there's problem with regard to in-year monitoring to achieve, to make sure that we achieve at the end. With the latest AG report which was issued, the performance report on consulting, we thought it quite appropriate to include this slide here to highlight to the committee the difference between conducting a performance audit and then what predetermined objective audit is. So this one is annual, like we discussed in when I did the consultant's slide. This one is annual. This one is when the need arises or when there's a problem that's been identified. This one is legislated. It says, as the Office of the AG, we must do it. The other one says, we may do it when those problems are identified. This one is done by auditors. The other one, the performance audit, is done by subject matter experts, which are experts on that specific matter which has been tested. We concentrate on the review and confirm the validity and completeness of information, whereas from a performance audit point of view, we look at whether goods were acquired economically, applied efficiently, and managed effectively to achieve the desired goal. So just those little fundamental differences between what we do annually and then what the performance audit is as well. And in terms of way forward, there's still some work to be done, but like we said, at least they process in place now whereby we're reviewing the plans up front to make sure that we eliminate the issues with regard to the SMART principle. Entities must just now go back and ensure that they do the implement the changes, they implement adequate controls on a monthly basis, on a quarterly basis, to make sure that when they report, they're reporting credible, factual, and complete information that is accurate and will address the specific goals as set out up front. Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, I thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Let me invite the members to interact with the presentation. Honorable Foreman, Honorable Doris, Honorable Steve.
We have got electricity.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. To our presenter, really, this is value for money. I have got to say that, and the MG and anybody reporting can put that down. This is something that we've been talking about since we got here in 2009, and you have actually put it into such beautiful context that everybody can understand it. And I want to tell you, I have started to look through this book. And I want to tell you, it's not only RIG that's got reports. Every single thing here is reports. Four reports. First quarter, second quarter, third, fourth. One report, one report, one report. Next slide. Four reports. And we cannot monitor. This is what I've been saying. We cannot monitor something that is not quantified. The other thing that is terribly important that you've been saying is that the targets, very often, you know, we'll get a report that says achieved 300 units or something, and you say, but out of how many? You know, so you've given us extremely valuable information here. Just one question that I would like to ask you, and that is about performance agreements, because we have different versions of this. I serve in public enterprises, as you know, as well. Now, there are certain things that they feel can't be disclosed, you know, in public because of the commercial value. So I'd like some thoughts from you on this, because I feel this is something that we need. These performance agreements and delivery agreements, actually. So I'd like you to give us I don't have any other question, Chair, but I just want to commend this department for the fantastic work. And I would go further to say that when we have our workshop on putting everything together, it would be very good to have someone from your office. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think my colleague here has said a mouthful just to appreciate the presentation and to say this is an eye-opener. These things that you raised here in this presentation is what we've been asking for from the department, the value for money on the ground. So I think you have empowered us to do our job as expected. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I think the AG should write the business plan and the strat plans for this department. You know, I really think that the AG should write their business plan. Because this is a simple matter that we've been saying. It's simple. You know, if you say you're going to have 100 bucks, just say how you're going to spend this 100 bucks and come and tell us a year after that you spend it on those things you said you're going to spend it on. It's as simple as that. And I don't know how complex it is. But you see, the problem we have is this department has had underspending of about 4 billion. Okay? Now, it clearly shows that they are not following the SMART principle. Because of they always say to us, well, we could not spend because of the issue of capacity. Now, it goes to the point that you've made in saying that you cannot budget for something or you cannot project a target that you know you're not going to achieve. That is the problem. And we've always been saying to the department, why are you setting unrealistic targets? Things that you know you're not going to achieve, but you are setting them up. And then you come at the end of the financial year and say, no, we could not achieve because we don't have the capacity to do that. And I think I take your point on the issue of performance bonuses, because we've always been asking, how do you give people performance bonuses? If there is underachievement and underspending, why would you reward people and say you've well done? You know, it might be a question of now you are running the dashboard thing. You know, not following the SMART principle, but the dashboard principle. If you transfer those funds, yes, I've done, then you make it a tick, and then that translates to performance. So we are rewarding failure, in essence. That is what we are doing in the department. So what you've said, it's always, you know, opening our eyes, and thank you to the AG. I think you've given us more ammunition in going further.
Yes, Jefferson, thank you very much. I am very excited, like I already said. But I think what was outstanding for me in the whole presentation, I mean, the process is clear, how we should do our oversight and follow the what's been said, is the fact that the AG is actually now proactively engaging within a quarter. And that is most outstanding, because I was always, when I was in the provincial legislature in the Western Cape, where we still had the yearly auditing, I always had a problem, you know, after a year. What can you do after a year? How can you assist the department? And it's not as if any of us really know everything. So we must never, you know, become complacent in thinking that we know everything. So that part, AG, I think, is outstanding, and I'm sure that the department is going to benefit from that, planning better, and that we can, at the end, you know, give service to our people. Thanks, Chair.
I think, okay, response, just if that was a comment, but I think you can just say a word.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, thank you for the kind words. It is surely appreciated. It makes me feel good for all the flights flying down to Cape Town. I think there's just one critical issue that I think it's a common theme that I'm picking up in terms of the performance agreement with your strategic plan. And sometimes people may come up with practical challenges, but there's always a way around it. And I'm going to use, I hope the PMG can probably just write with a pencil in this case. I'm going to use the AG as an example. The AG has in its strategic plan, we've got 5 goals. And each goal, if I take my performance contract that I signed with Mr. Van Vieren annually, I can clearly link goal 1, simplicity, clarity, and relevance of message, and it is linked in my performance agreement, and I get rated in terms of my reports that I produce, and in terms of this presentation that I've done here today, ma'am, it was compiled by me, and I have to take it to him and say, this is a presentation I did, and he actually has a score in mind for me. So when, based on the reception here, I can go back and say it was well received because the message was clear, it was simple, and it was concise. In terms of our visibility, if the Honorable Chairperson calls me and says, I need to see you next week, Wednesday, there's a question I have, I need to avail myself, and that's our goal, to visibility of leadership, then I have to come down to Cape Town and come and meet with the Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee and see exactly what the problems are for whatever reason, but I need to avail myself, and that's goal number 2, visibility. And we've got, if I take the AG's strategic plan, goal by goal, my performance contract, I can link goal by goal. If I don't achieve simplicity, it means the AG as a whole hasn't achieved simplicity in terms of our message. So then it gets lost, and that's why I'm saying it is quite a simple exercise. Maybe we make it sound simple, but it's an achievable exercise. Let's rather say that it's an achievable exercise,
There are practical challenges with regard to confidentiality of information. We do understand why public enterprises may feel certain clauses may not be impacted, but there are certain activities which you can clearly link to an individual's performance to say you need to do X, Y, and Z to, without disclosing the actual confidential information. So I need to come down and see Honorable Chairperson if she requests me to. That's how I get rated on my visibility, because then the AG is visible. Then the AG is there for the portfolio committee in that sense, in that regard. Thank you. And thank you for the kind words.
And then after your visibility, there's outcome. It must not be just a visibility, but there should be a deliverable outcome. So it means the department of each member is a parliament, a recommendation that this is in Zayo, as recognized. It means still there's no need for a performance award. Cindy, that's the point. So thank you so much. All right. I khululeka mntana mi flight yakushiya kufuna ukukhaleza ofika e Pretoria. Honorable members, let's break for 5 minutes so that Ralph azo set up, and then there's tea. Uhambe usele amanzi mntana Andres, there's tea there. Okay, 5 minute break.
I want to stop by communications as well, though, so I'm because I think that might be important. Okay. Oh, okay. Let me come down. I'll see you now. Bye.